Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided. Three against two and two against three, they will be divided. Father against son and son against father. Mother against daughter and daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, it is going to rain, and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be a scorching heat, and it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace and peace to you all from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Good and gracious Lord, may the words from my lips and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you this day, this week, and always. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. If we can agree on one thing in our culture, it is how very divided we are. This is confirmed by numerous Pew Research studies done between 1994 and 2014. Turn to any major news source these days and hear or read the divisiveness in our country. Speak politics in our family and note the divisiveness it brings. I admit I was trying to figure out if the Holy Spirit was leading me to preach on anything except the gospel reading for today. I personally prefer peace over conflict. I have seen enough division in my family, in my lifetime, and my heart aches for reconciliation and laments when there is no repentance. When I get home after a long day or week, I just want peace. Ask my family if I don't sound like a parrot or a broken record on Saturday mornings. Can't we just have a peaceful breakfast together? What I mean by that is just, I want quiet. My introverted side, after a long week of being around people whom God and I love, needs quiet to recharge. I don't want to deal with conflict. I don't have the energy to deal with it at home. What I fail to realize in the moment with my desire for silence is that the fighting is caused most of the time by some injustice in the conflict because someone is speaking up for themselves. Usually the one who is the loudest is the one my frustration attracts, when in reality they were just trying to stand up for themselves. Admittedly, I used to shy from conflict because in my family system, disagreement was met by cutoff. They just stopped speaking to me. Yet the grace we have in baptism through Jesus Christ crucified and risen takes all our worries of conflict and suffering to the cross, making us members of the body of Christ in which we belong to Christ and are made part of the family of God and are accountable to Christ and one another, and in daily repentance through his grace are raised from the death of sin to new life, where we are freed from sin and death and are all called to use our gifts to help bring about God's kingdom of justice and peace through healthy conflict in our homes, communities, nation, and the world. We are not called to be peacekeepers, but through the gospel, peacemakers. Jesus spoke these words during the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. One of eight blessings in Matthew, known as the Beatitudes. Often we prefer to silence people in our church, our homes, communities, nation, and the world with the false understanding that we are to keep the peace. We sin against those who are crying out for justice when we remain silent. The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. once said, "Our lives begin to end the day when we become silent about the things that matter." If we reflect on the reasons why we are silent, we can come up with many, and it's different for us all. Like I sometimes do at home many times, we prefer silence over the noise that comes from someone oppressed, marginalized, or victimized speaking up for themselves. And we fail to hear them because we just listen to the noise and not the person or people with their valid complaint and demand for justice in the face of injustice. We fail to listen to and hear what is really going on, and sometimes we blame the victim. Some of us avoid conflict because of our past experiences. Sometimes we don't take time to hear about what is going on with our neighbor because it does not seem to affect us. Sometimes we are just too busy to even have the energy to care. We all don't like hearing that we have any part in harming others. And when we hear that we are part of a system that oppresses, marginalizes, or victimizes a person or group of people, it afflicts our conscience, and so we would rather avoid, deny, and distract ourselves, rather than admitting our loyalties are elsewhere, other than with Jesus, who judged and forgave us once and for all in baptism and calls us to a life of repentance, to listen to the voices of the oppressed, the marginalized, the poor, the victims of violence and abuse in our society. And being raised to new life in Him through His grace alone, work for justice and peace by loving our neighbor as ourselves. Sometimes, like the religious authorities of Jesus' day, we have other reasons for not wanting conflict that Jesus' presence brings. Perhaps our power or our finances, our self-righteousness, or our view of God made in our image is threatened. Often it is a Christian misunderstanding of the gospel that we are to be peacekeepers, to keep silent for the sake of peace. But Jesus was not a peacekeeper. No, he shook the foundations of the people he drew near to and turned their world upside down through his reconciling peace. Rather than a peacekeeper, he was and is a peacemaker through the gospel and calls us to do the same. The gospel or good news has both law and gospel. Martin Luther is quoted as saying, "At an earlier time, there was no pleasure in the law for me. But now I find that the law is good and tasty, that it has been given to me so that I might live. And now I find my pleasure in it. Earlier it told me what I ought to do. Now I begin to adapt myself to it. And for this I worship, praise, and serve God." Pastor Jason Chestnut, a pastor and colleague in Baltimore, Maryland, often speaks out against the injustices of our sisters and brothers of African descent in our country, the injustices that they face on a daily basis. And some, including myself at times, critique him on his approach rather than focusing on him living out his baptismal vow to work for justice and peace in the world. He embraces his baptismal calling to follow Jesus and be a peacemaker, lifting up the injustices of our brothers and sisters of African descent that they encounter because of the color of their skin, and the systemic racism that is unseen by people who haven't walked in their shoes or studied or listened to their plight. In our country, we have a long history of oppressing people of African descent. From the time we brought them over, or our ancestors brought them over against their will and enslaved them to the economic benefit of farmers in the South, to the segregation of schools, in the ongoing segregation of schools that currently occurs due to the mass migration of the middle class from the city to the suburbs. Our sinful nature to oppress people in order to hold power and status is amplified in our criminal justice system, which is long overdue for equitable sentences for whites and blacks. And our brothers with black skin worry about being pulled over while black. While we need law and order in our country, our privileged lens through which we view everything is often blind to the systemic injustices going on in our country. I once talked to an African-American man after a police shooting that caused great conflict in our nation. And I asked him what that was like for him. And he said about the police officers in himself, we all just want to make it home safely at night. If we don't see it, we feel we aren't accountable for it. We think that, but that thinking is wrong. We know we are all tied to corporate sin, even if we are unaware of it. The good news is that when we repent, confessing our sin, known and unknown, at the beginning of worship, in our corporate confession, we are reminded of the promise that all our sins are absolved on account of our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So while we do not like having the law lifted up, we can have peace that though we fail to follow Jesus and bring about God's kingdom of justice and peace each day, we are claimed in baptism as beloved, forgiven sinners, made saints through Christ, having been reconciled to God through Christ's love and righteousness. And we are each raised to new life to try to love our neighbor as ourselves again and again. This is the peace that Christ brings about, not through peacekeeping, by keeping silent about our sin, but through peacemaking, by lifting up our sin on the cross for the reconciliation and transformation of the world through His grace. Churchwide assembly gathered in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and there were many resolutions that came about. I've been a part of three synods now, actually four, but two of which I saw a lot of work on systemic racism and the injustices that that brings. For many of us, this is all new. These are new words, and it makes us uncomfortable. I get that. I've been there. It made me uncomfortable, and it still does. But there will be things that you hear that come out of church-wide resolutions that you might not understand. But maybe this is the Holy Spirit encouraging you, inviting you to look into it, what's behind these hours of scriptural study and prayer and walking along our sisters and brothers in faith, our ecumenical and interfaith partners. Why are they adopting these resolutions? And how might we learn more about that, our involvement, our silence and complicity with? Adult Forum might be one way that you all could learn more about these things. Wherever the Spirit leads you, may it lead you to the table of God's grace. May you feed on His word, His living sacrifice, His love for you. And may you go out renewed into the world, thanking God and asking God to help you to love your neighbor as yourself. Amen.